listening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 66 are Chris Carroll.
Hi, guys.
And Terrence Hawkins.
Howdy ho, all.
Now, tonight, we're going to almost play a sort of a game here that I'm going to call Rich Man, Poor Man. But before we get to the game, I do want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys. Fairy Tale Journeys is an authorized Disney travel planner, and they can help you put together a budget trip, or they can help you put together a splurge trip, or anything in between. You can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. Okay, so now to our game, Rich Man, Poor Man, and we're going to take Poor Man first, and I'm going to apologize. You know, I don't mean to make light of it. A trip to Walt Disney World is not cheap, but the goal we set for ourselves tonight for the first part of the show here is to come up with a budget trip, basically as inexpensive a trip as we could pull together for a family of four on a trip to Walt Disney World for at least 4 days. And it needed to include, you got to feed everybody reasonably, you got to give them a place to stay on property, and you need to get them there, transportation. So everybody clear on the rules?
I thought we could stay off property.
Okay, well, that's all right. We'll go ahead and look at the off property that you came up with. That's fine, too.
Okay.
And we'll talk about kind of why we chose what we chose. So, Chris, why don't you go ahead and start since you took us off property?
Okay, so I took us off property. This is a hotel I've actually stayed at before, and it's...
Hey, well, before you go on, that's a good point, and I'm glad you mentioned it. One of the reasons that you know, Terry and I had talked about this before the show, and, you know, we kind of had said, well, let's keep it to on property. And the reason we did that is that one of the challenges of staying off property is that there's so many places to stay that are not necessarily places that you'd be comfortable with your family staying once you got there.
Right.
And so the fact that you stayed there before, you know, we can have some confidence that it's going to be a reasonable place to stay. Anyway, right. Go ahead, Chris, and tell us where you chose to stay and how you chose to get there.
So even though it was a budget trip, there were certain things that I felt that I wanted to include in this trip. And one of them was I wanted a place where the kids would have fun when we went back to. I wanted a place that was, you know, not Disney World, but still memorable. And I wanted a place that had a little bit of a kitchen there so that we could do some have some of our own food. We could store food, bring food, because that's, to me, a big part of trying to keep yourself on budget.
Okay.
So the place that I chose was the Nickelodeon Hotel. They have rooms that are available. Depending on when you want to stay, they can go down to $115 a night, which is pretty expensive, but it is for a budget. But it does include breakfast. It does include breakfast for everybody, and it is a suite. So...
Okay, so you're getting lots of space. You're getting one of your meals taken care of.
That has decent food. You know, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet for breakfast. So, you know, if you go with little kids, which is what we did when we went, we took three little kids. I know we're budgeting for four, but we took three little kids, and we, you know, one of us would go down in the morning and get the breakfast for everybody and bring it right up to the room, and they'd sit there and watch cartoons. Plus, the kid, even though it wasn't on property, the kids felt it was special because it was Nickelodeon, and they're not Disney, but they did a good job of, you know, having fun things to do.
Okay.
So I thought that was a great thing. Great place.
All right, and how many days did you plan on being in the parks?
Well, I think our rules said they had to be in the park for 4 days.
Right. Correct? Yeah, we said at least four so that you'd have the opportunity to be in each of the parks once, basically.
Right. And now you guys probably found this too, that for, you know, the price per day drops pretty quickly after you've been there for 4 or 5 days in Disney
right.
World. So, you know, 4 or 5 days, it doesn't really matter. You know, you're not adding that much per day. You're not adding that much overall, and your price per day starts to drop pretty fast after 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, when you put all this together, what were we looking at number wise? What was the figure that we were working from?
The figure for for a four person. I didn't. I thought we would go with a non park hopper ticket.
Okay. Probably smart choice.
Price too. Actually, I didn't write down the actual number. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's all right. That's all right. So we know the components, though. You spend about $115 a night. You bought four-day tickets. And what was your transportation? How did you get to Walt Disney World?
Well, I think that if you're going to do a trip like that, you really need to rent a car. There are some good places that have – I don't want to be advertising different car brands, but I will. Anyway, I know that the Alamo Rewards program is pretty good for car rental places, and they let you join that for free too, which is the one that that I looked at for renting a car. Now, you probably are going to rent a car for if you stay for a week, it's going to be relatively cheaper than to stay for 2 or 3 days. So, you know, depending on what you have to look into that and see, is it going to cost you less to rent for a week and return early than it is to rent for 4 or 5 days. So that's
That's a good point. And remember, if you're going to do that, you do need to read the terms and conditions of the rental, because some of the rental companies will charge you an early return fee.
Right. So you really need to check the specials as well as the fee there. But if you go, if you don't have a park hopper pass, you can still park in the same lot and then go back that day, and the parking is, you know, it's not extra. You have that ticket is for all day. So if you went early in the morning, you could still drive back to the hotel, go swimming in the afternoon, and then go back later. You wouldn't get any of the extra magic hours because you're off property, but you'd save some money in that regard.
That's true. And actually, even if you had purchased a park hopper ticket, as long as you save that receipt from the first park that you park at, you can use that for entry into the parking lot at the other theme parks as well.
Oh, I hadn't even realized that.
So yeah.
That's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
The other good trick for budgeting and food is to bring some of your food into the park. They used to be a little more strict about that. I don't think I've ever seen anyone turned away with food anymore, and people bring in coolers worth of food nowadays into parks. Another good trick that that we have used ourselves is mailing yourselves supplies. You can mail yourself a package to the hotel, and they will keep it there. So, you know, you can mail pretzels, and then your kids will have a snack. You can mail non-perishable goods, just regular mail, and so then you wouldn't have to go to the grocery store or pay the fee from getting a grocery service to deliver the food for you.
Okay, so but how did you get to Orlando?
Oh, how did you get to Orlando? Oh, well, I'm coming from Connecticut, so you have to fly. And the cheapest flight from us is either JetBlue or Southwest to get to us.
So we've got a good idea from Chris of, you know, how he would get his budget trip done. Terry, what did you come up with? You know, you've got an even farther trip coming from Canada. So, you know, how did you put together a budget trip for your family?
Well, Aaron, on this one here, I cheated a little bit and just thought, how cheap can you actually do it?
Okay.
And so what I took as a basis was that you could drive there. And because our next trip going, we actually will be driving there in November, because we will have sold our house here and we'll be bumming around the North America and the world for a year. So we thought, you know, we'll drive there and also make the assumption that we have a tent.
Okay.
Just looking at how cheap we can go to stay on property.
Sure.
So this one was, I did 7 days, getting a tent site at the Wilderness Campground, assuming that you have a AAA discount, which is 20%, you can get 7 days there for $311.20.
Wow.
That's the cheapest place I can find on property and still be legal, as opposed to just hiding out in Space Mountain for 5 days.
Right, right.
I think I can loan you a tent, Terry.
There we go.
Okay, so you're tent camping at Fort Wilderness Campgrounds. You spent about $300 on a little over $300 on your campground. What are you doing about food?
Food, assuming that you're bringing food with you, or you're buying, because you have your own vehicle, going over to Super Target or Walmart or someplace like that. And this is where I had a discussion with my wife, because I allowed for some meals in the parks, and she said, no, you're going as cheap as you can, take those out and add it into the bulk supply.
Okay.
So I allotted $250. That's, again, if you've got a way to store the food.
Right. And really, you know, the hardest part of that is that you're always going to have, you know, some perishables that are a little tricky, you know, things like milk or things like that. If you've got kids that are milk drinkers, you know, there are some things that just aren't going to keep as well, you know, in the Orlando weather.
Oh, for sure. And that's where, again, make the assumption that you've got the tent, but you've also got a powered cooler.
Yeah.
Because the sites do all have power, or perhaps you've got a small camper.
Okay.
Which would be the same price. And so you're able to hitch it up and just keep the power going that way.
Okay. So now we're up to around $560. And yeah. Then you had your 7-day, well, you're there for 7 days. How many days did you get tickets for?
I went with a 4-day park ticket with and using 2 days for the water parks out of that. That still leaves you an extra 2 days, but there's so much to do, actually, that doesn't cost you a park ticket.
Sure.
To do around there that, I mean, just around the wilderness campgrounds.
Right.
There, you can spend a good full day there, let alone riding the boats and everything, which we did on this last trip. And that's all free.
Okay. Okay. And
then I did a lot in there, a snack per day, per person, as well as assuming you go to the Magic Kingdom twice, using two of your park days for that. You'd each need one Dole Whip per day. So I come out a grand total there of just under $1,700.
Wow.
The bulk of that, of course, is the tickets.
Right, sure.
Now, adding in, which I'd argued for, would be a special dinner at the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, and then a character breakfast at either Tusker House, Hollywood and Vine, or Garden Grove, along with lunch at Flame Tree Barbecue, because I have to agree with Aaron, that's got to be one of the best lunches you can have on on property. And then also buying lunches in each of the water parks, that adds another $400 to the price there. But
okay.
You know, so still right around just under $2,100 if you
right.
do that. If you really watch the food and bring it all yourself, then you can do it for $1,700. But you got a lot some in there for fun and frivolity and that. But I just thought, you know, as a challenge,
right.
how low can you do it?
Well, I had an interesting. I took a little different approach, and what I said was. Basically, that I wanted to make sure that whatever we spent, we were spending the money to, you know, specifically to maximize the Disney World experience. So,
20% experience, so to speak.
Not that really. But my point was that I didn't want to spend money on things that were not Disney World. So I didn't want to spend money on a rental car. I didn't want to spend money on. A lot of the kind of you know, nickel and dime type stuff that you have to deal with when you're staying off property, because one of the problems sometimes with thinking that you're going to save money staying off property is that you don't really save as much as you think you were going to often once you start adding up the additional expenses. You know, you're paying for parking, you're paying for, you know, your rental car, and there are all these other little expenses that kind of creep up on you. And what I said was, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take advantage of what I know about sort of, you know, how Disney deals with their calendar historically. And there's a great website that I use, you know, mousesavers.com. A lot of people know about the site, but there's a particular page in, on Mouse Savers, and it's a little difficult to find, so I keep it bookmarked. I'll make sure to put the page in the show notes. But they have a page devoted to historical information on Walt Disney World discounts. And what I did was going back and looking at that Mouse Savers historical discounts, you know, you can't guarantee anything going forward in the future, but for the last 3 years, during early September, they've offered free dining. I thought, you know what? 3 years running, I think I can rely on that as being a likely offer. And so I planned us a trip going September 9th through 13th. And that time period is almost certainly a free dining period. Now, if it's free dining, let's take full advantage of free dining. You can stay for a little less money in a value resort, but one of the things we learned during the first part of our trip during the Diz Dads convention was that we have reached the point where we no longer fit well in a value resort. The kids are bigger and they're squirmy, and nobody sleeps well when we're all four in a value resort. We slept much better once we moved to the moderate resort with the bigger beds. And so I said, okay, you know what? Going to a moderate resort, we get bigger beds and we get table service meals that we wouldn't get otherwise. So what I did, you know, I couldn't really price out that deal because it's not currently offered. But, you know, the base rate at Port Orleans Riverside right now, because there's no discount being offered, should be the rack rate, which we would have to pay in order to get the free dining. So paying rack rate at Port Orleans Riverside with four-day base tickets would cost us, surprisingly, $1,843, less than I had expected. And because we're going to stay the 9th through the 13th, that was also strategic. We're not going to stay over the weekend because the prices go up over the weekend. We're going to use the weekends on either side as our travel time because we're going to drive from Kansas City. And driving from Kansas City is a little more than 20 hours, so we're going to have to divide that up into 2 days. Now, I have to say I did cheat a little bit on this travel piece because I ended up calculating it two different ways. I calculated it once, figuring in a hotel stay each direction. But then I went back and I said, you know, we've got some really good family friends that used to live right across the street from us. We haven't seen them in over a year. And they live in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And wouldn't you know, Tuscaloosa, Alabama is almost exactly halfway between Kansas City and Walt Disney World. So we could drive to Tuscaloosa, stay overnight with our friends, the Alexanders, and then hit the road again in the morning. And I'm sure I would offer to pay them, but they'd turn us down anyway. So we saved that. And I found a couple of online calculators that will figure for you not just the cost of gas for a road trip, but they'll also figure in some of the sort of estimated wear and tear costs for what you put on your car and some of those other ancillary costs that it's easy to forget. I'll put those in the show notes, too. One of them is called costtodrive.com. That one does the sort of the simplest version. And using that one and telling them that I was going to stop overnight and stay with friends, it gave me a cost of $338.06 for that trip. Now, the other site that I looked at, there's befrugal.com. has a fly or drive calculator, which is actually really useful. Chances are I may be looking at that for real use sometime soon. But basically, you tell it where you're going to, where you're going from, and it tells you, you know, approximately where you should expect to stay if you're going to take more than one day, what the average cost for a hotel room in those places is, and it also calculates for you what the average plane fares are between your destinations. So you can actually do a direct comparison. And at BeFrugal.com, figuring in having to spend $150 a night on a hotel room each direction, and I can probably do better than that, but even using their numbers, it would be a little more expensive. They came to $760 round trip for the car transportation, but that's still cheaper than our airfares, which the last time we flew took cost us about $1,200. So, you know, we can save a lot of money by driving instead of flying. And by driving, you know, by planning the trip the way we did, it makes it sort of possible to do because we can drive during the weekend time. We don't have to take extra days off work to make the drive. So I was pretty pleased that I was able to put together a, you know, 4-day trip in a moderate resort for just over
$2,000. Oh, that's great.
Good job.
And I'd also just like to say how lucky you guys are with your cheap airfares. Fly from Canada here, and you can double or triple or quadruple those ticket prices.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Certainly, if you, depending on what type of time of year you're going, it can dramatically change your prices.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, you know, I took full advantage of the cheapest time of the year that we could still travel. And also, you know, a time that I was comfortable that the weather would be acceptable for driving. You know, it would make me a little nervous to plan on making that drive in February, just because there are parts of that drive that can be a problem. I learned that the hard way in college. Four friends and I took a road trip to Mardi Gras and got stuck on our way back between St. Louis and Kansas City.
It's not an easy trip driving 20 hours after. So you're going to do you're going to drive all day Saturday and all day Sunday. Spend 5 days at Disney World and then do it again going back. That's quite a taxing trip. You know, there is the costs of gas and wear and tear on the car, but you know, there's also you have to factor in the emotional cost of.
Yes, the wear and tear on the people too.
Wear and tear on the people, too. It's just, it might be worth an extra couple $100 to
Well, this is the question. So, all right. So we've talked about budget trips. We've talked about some of the good strategies that you can use. I mean, even if you're not just trying to come up with the cheapest trip you can possibly come up with, there are some strategies you can use in general to keep your costs down. You know, Chris really focused on the lodging costs and getting the best lodging he could get for the least cost. You know, I focused on, you know, minimizing our food costs and sort of gaming the system a little bit to take advantage of the best, you know, the discount offer that would help us the most. And then Terry, you know, took kind of the standpoint of finding the absolute cheapest thing you could do, both in terms of lodging and in terms of food costs, because those food costs can add up in a hurry.
Though mine does give me 7 days.
Right, now, and it's
days
a longer
in
trip.
A tent.
Absolutely. But it's a longer
I'd
trip.
I'd probably take your 18 days in Port Orleans over my 7 days in a tent.
But. It's not 18 days. It's only 4.
We'll get you some air mattresses. You'll be fine.
There we go.
All right, so that was the budget side. Now that we've done the cheap trip, or the least expensive trip we can do, we thought it might be fun to see what would happen if we decided to just pull out all the stops, and you know what we could do and what that might cost. And we did have a couple of rules in place for this one too, because you know, I mean, yeah, if you start the trip by buying a home in Golden Oak, you know, okay, so you spent $2 million to start your trip, and you still got to get, well, I guess tickets are included at that point, but that's another story. So the rules were that the trip could be a maximum of 10 days, and I think this is one of the most important ones, you know, every element of the trip needs to be something that's publicly available. It has to be something that anybody, after hearing this podcast, could go look up and could arrange if they really wanted to and had the cash to do it. I don't know. Chris went first last time. Terry, why don't you talk about, you know, what you decided, how you decided to create this splurge trip?
talking with my family there a little bit about the things they'd love to do, dreaming about the things that I've seen there and would love to do. I vetoed my family's ideas and went with mine. Namely because my my oldest daughter's idea was to stay at the Art of Animation because it's got Mater.
I see.
Instead, what I did, of course, I went for the obvious of taking accommodation at the Grand Floridian, getting their two-bedroom place with a park view
Very
for
nice.
7 nights. Again, I stuck this one to 7 days. That's going to run you about $15,000 for the room.
Is that the concierge level?
Yeah, that should be there or above.
Well, they have. I think when I was pricing this, they have concierge levels at. I'm not sure at the Grand Floridian, but at the Polynesian they do, and I've never stayed at a concierge level, but yeah. But
no, this one's $2,100 a night.
Yeah,
so it should come with a butler at that.
I don't know. It's my impression. That's sort of what it is, but
not quite. I've stayed concierge lounge at the Polynesian. We'll talk about it actually in a minute.
Okay.
But, go ahead, Terry.
For tickets, I went with the Premier passports there for the family, because obviously if we're rolling in this much dough, odds are we're going to want to hit Disneyland at some time too. And this gives you the opportunity. So that's another $3,400.
So everyone season pass?
Yeah, everyone season pass to both Disney World and Disneyland. And then I went in thinking, well, we've got 7 days. We're going to spend all 7 days in the parks. But we're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to take 1 day for each park and do Disney's VIP tours. Do their VIP tours for Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and Animal Kingdom, using a private tour guide for Magic Kingdom there for a day. Now the VIP tours are basically permanent fast passes, so they're for any ride that has a fast pass. If it doesn't have a fast pass line, you don't get up to the front. But it would be a great way to see the parks, learn a little bit more about them. So for those three parks, I allotted 8 hours each at $315 an hour.
Now those have a 4 hour minimum, right? I think, don't they?
A 6 hour minimum.
6 hour minimum.
So yeah, that's right. So that comes out at just over $7,500. Also, the private tour would come in around $700 or so. Then I was looking too at some of the other tours that they offer for some of the other days, or maybe being able to do them in conjunction with the VIP tours, either before or after. I've always wanted to do the Wild Africa Trek since I first heard about it. It sounds lots of fun. I took a look at it when we were there over the convention, and it's definitely on our list to do in the fall. Now, that's $190 per person, with the stipulation, though, there you have to be 8 years or older to do it. And then a fireworks tour. Well, you see all the boats. You see the pontoon boats for the illuminations. You see some boats out in the harbor out in the Seven Seas Lagoon to watch the fireworks there. Well, I thought, you know, we're just going to put the Grand One on call for 14 hours one day. And that's another $6,800 gone. For other tours, the Behind the Seeds tour at Epcot.
That's cheap. You just want to go on the Behind the Seeds tour.
It's cheap, but you know what? The next time we go to Epcot, my oldest daughter won't let us go unless we do that.
He's going to have a mutiny on his hands otherwise.
Yeah.
That is a great tour. It's a lot of fun to to feed the alligators and to feed the fish. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then we come to food, really, is really what's left. You've eaten up pretty much all the days at the park, a day cruising out on the shore and that. So we're left with some of the most important things, food. The wife and I would have to go for dinner at Victoria and Albert's. That's a must right there. So that's $500 for the evening. And then we take in the different special or character breakfasts or character dinners in that. And it's amazing how many of those meals will run right up around $350 each. You know, Narcosis, Blue Zoo, even Be Our Guest. A restaurant can run you easily over $300 for a family of four. That's assuming a bottle of wine or yep. So.
Sure.
Surprisingly, even breakfast can run well over $200 for some of them.
Yep.
The Cinderella Royal Table. Aaron, I've never been to Ohana, and everybody raves about it, but when I went and started pricing that out, that looked like it would be in the $200 range as well.
Well, it depends. It's Ohana is, let's see, it's about
$60 per adult and $36 per child. Is that right?
Oh no, but that's for dinner.
That's for dinner.
That's for dinner.
That's a dinner pricing. Yeah.
Yeah. The breakfast is much less expensive.
Oh, okay. All right then.
Yeah, we just talked about that in the dining values podcast, and I had the numbers then. But
it's like 36 and 18 in that neighborhood.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. It's one of the least expensive character meals.
Yeah, that sounds actually pretty good then. It's right in line then with the supercalifragilistic breakfast at 1900.
Yeah, they're priced very similarly.
Oscar House, okay. All right. The only other one that I found there that I'd really like to do sometime is the Lunch with Imagineer.
Oh, nice. Ruby. Nice ad.
That was on my list, too.
Well, sorry to rob it from you.
No, you basically robbed my whole list, so that's all right.
So, Terry, what was the final damage on your trip?
The final damage, not including the DVC, which I'd have to, of course, purchase, would be just over $39,000.
Okay. And Chris, you said yours was very similar to Terry's.
Yeah, mine was very similar. Mine came about 35, but we a little different. But there were some other things you could have added there, Terry, that would have been nice. When you go out to dinner with your wife, you should get an in-room babysitter for your kids so you don't have to take them.
Oh, that's right. I don't have to use duct tape anymore.
No duct tape, yes. You can get things catered on the Grand, too, or on your when you go out on the boats at night. So you can do that, too, if you go on Illuminations tour. I had an Illuminations tour and the Grand tour. To watch the fireworks. But some of those tours and things that you mentioned are fabulous. And, basically you took my entire trip. You mentioned you stayed at the concierge level at the Polynesian.
Yeah. We stayed there, our very first, Disney World trip, we stayed concierge level at the Polynesian.
Nice.
Well, you know, because we were the fools who thought, you know, we're only going to do this once, so let's do it right.
Right.
And, of course, you know, I could have gotten two trips easily out of what we spent on the one.
Right.
But the concierge level, there are staff there that are there during, you know, sort of regular operating hours that can help with things like dining reservations and event reservations, things like that. There is, at the Polynesian, there's a really nice lounge area. There's a TV there. It's got these huge, gorgeous two-story windows that look out over the lagoon and onto the Magic Kingdom. There's you know, they've got a continental breakfast, actually kind of a little bit higher end than continental breakfast. There's a few additional items that are out. Pog juice, which is a favorite of ours, passion fruit, orange guava juice. They have appetizers out in the early evening. Later in the evening, they've got beer, wine, and some liquor that's out. You kind of help yourself kind of thing. So it is. It's a really nice bonus. Having stayed there, you know, my kids still talk about wanting to go back sometime and stay at the Polynesian in the Hawaii building again. And so I decided that, you know, as long as I was fantasizing, we might as well blow the doors off in ways that we would enjoy. And so I may have, well, actually, Terry, you said yours came to about 29,000. Is that right?
39. Yeah.
And Chris, what was your grand total?
35.
Okay. Well, my grand total came to $74,710.77. There was a reason for the things that I splurged on, because believe it or not, as we run through this, you're going to discover that I actually chose sort of a budget approach to splurging in some ways, because there were a couple of items that I spent some money on just because I could. The first was, you know, I think I've talked about previously, although I might not have talked about it on the podcast, we came dangerously close to missing our flight to the Diz Dads convention about a month ago. And I wanted to make sure that for this special splurge trip that we didn't run into that kind of problem again. So I booked us a private plane. And as long as I was booking a private plane, you know, you can get a less expensive private plane, but it didn't make much sense to me to book a private plane and then have the trip actually take longer than it would take to take a commercial jetliner. So it had to be a private jet that can travel at the same speeds as a commercial jetliner. So that private jet round trip runs about not quite $41,000 by itself. And that was the single most expensive component of the trip. So that was a big piece of it. Then once we landed at Orlando, you know, I'm taking a splurge trip. I'm not taking Magical Express.
No way.
I'm going to travel in style.
Limo. Better be the Hummer limo.
No, even better. I found a car rental company in Orlando that will rent a Bentley convertible.
Oh, you got my wife's dream car. Beautiful.
And, you know, sure, a Bentley convertible for 10 days is about $12,000. But I figure it's well worth it. I'm never going to get another chance, right?
No.
So, you know, $52,000 already spent on transportation.
Really, the rest of your trip is relatively cheap.
The rest of my trip is relatively cheap. And I'm not missing out on anything. Because what
you're
I did...
staying at the Art of Animation.
No. We're staying at the Polynesian. We're staying club level. Now, we aren't in one of the suites in the Tonga building. You know, on the one hand, I kind of like being in the Hawaii building because that's the building where the concierge lounge is. If you stay in the Tonga building, you got to come over to the Hawaii building to use the concierge lounge. So that was one thing. And also, I was looking at particular dates, and I was looking at June 3rd through 13th so that we could go right after the kids got out of school. And there were no suites available.
Double your prices by doing it over Christmas break.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We could do it Christmas, and it would be twice that with no problem. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that it was available, too. And the other thing that I did, and as I said, you know, this was in some ways a budget splurge. I booked us under the Platinum Packet, and it's not particularly well frequently advertised, but there are two higher level packages than the regular dining plan packages that you can book as Magic Your Way packages with Walt Disney World.
Is this the one with free alcohol, or the alcohol included? Not free, obviously.
Disney doesn't sell the wine package anymore.
Oh, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Does it include Dole Whips with the rum?
it doesn't, but it includes an amazing array of activities and other things. So using the Platinum Package, for example, among other things, and I just kind of made a list of the highlights of things that we would use. The Platinum Package gets you, it includes Victoria and Albert's on your dining plan.
Nice.
And
the Victoria room or the regular room?
Well, the regular room, but you can pay the upcharge for a special seating. So I went ahead and figured on spending an extra $250 on the chef's table.
Excellent.
As long as we're going to do it, we're going to do it right.
Absolutely. And when they come around asking you if you want the to try the Kobe versus the Wagyu beef, you absolutely have to do that too.
Of course.
It's another $150.
Why not? And one of the things that makes that possible, and there are a couple other kind of adult events that I put on here, is that the Platinum Package includes unlimited use of the kids' clubs. And the Neverland Club at the Polynesian, coincidentally, is a favorite of both my kids. So, you know, we wouldn't get any complaint from them that we were dropping them at the Neverland Club, so that we could head to Victoria and Albert's for dinner at the chef's table.
Very nice.
I also included, you also get included in the Platinum Package, all of the water recreation opportunities. So we're going to go parasailing.
Very nice.
Because we can. Jonathan will be disappointed that he can't go because he's too young, but Michaela is just old enough, so she'll get to fly. We're going to go see La Nuba, which is included in the Platinum Package. It includes fireworks cruises. So we're going to take an Illuminations cruise. We're going to do... they offer... Part of the Platinum Package is special reserve seating for Fantasmic. So we'll use that. We're going to take his and her spa treatments, again, included in the package.
Nice.
You can take any tour. So we're going to use that. And my wife and I will take the Around the World Epcot Segway tour. And we can all together do the Family Magic tour.
So any tour is included? One tour per person is included? Or literally any tour you want is included?
As I recall, I have to look at it again to make sure, but as I recall, it's unlimited tours.
This is almost
how much is this package?
This is almost a deal.
It is. It really is. I mean, if you're going to take advantage of all the things it has to offer, it's not cheap. You know, it's what made a regular club room at the Polynesian, you know, $20,000 for 10 days. So, you know, $2,000 a day for... you know, a non-suite room.
Right.
But it includes everything. It includes, you know, I believe it's unlimited rounds of golf as well. But I didn't want to go play by myself. I also included in our plan something I recently learned about that I didn't know about before, and that is that you can do what's called private dining at the Grand Floridian. This is separate from Victoria and Albert's and the other restaurants, but basically they set you up a table on their, you know, like balcony area that overlooks the bay and the Magic Kingdom, and you dine outdoors when the weather permits. You get a private server. And you pick the menu, and it's about $350, and you get, it's called Grand Floridian Private Dining. You know, a high-end meal, completely private.
Wow. That's a nice one.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. And that's really kind of what we were going to take advantage of the package for. Now, there was about $800 or so, a little more than that, of additional stuff that I tagged on there. We're going to go ahead and put 3-day Universal park-to-park tickets. The third day's free anyway, and as long as we're going to be there, you know, my daughter really wants to get to the Wizarding World again. So we'll head back there. And, you know, we've never been to SeaWorld, so I got us, you know, one day at SeaWorld as well.
You might as well do the Dolphin Adventure when you're there.
Oh, see, I didn't even think about that. I should have put that on there.
Dolphin Experience, or Dolphin Experience, I think
it's. Right, right. So, you know, all told, like I said, the total trip was almost $75,000, but, you know, $50,000 of that was extravagant transportation. You know, the rest of it we did for probably under $25,000. And, yeah, that's a lot of money. But, you know, the Platinum package, it really makes that kind of thing easy almost.
You get all your food, you get all the food, all the babysitting, all the tours. That's you certainly would have priced that out. You would have spent more money had you done those individually.
Oh, absolutely, by a wide margin. Yeah, it wouldn't have been close. So, you know, and again, this is one of those things. It used to be, for a while, there was kind of a little loophole, and people discovered that you could really kind of leverage the Platinum plan. Because what you could do is you could do like a 5-day trip, but you could split your stay. I guess it was the first day of your trip. Do the Platinum package for that first day, but only do it for one day because you could use the package for 2 days, right? Your check-in day and your check-out day.
Yep.
But they don't let you do that anymore. I believe the Platinum package now has a 3-day minimum because people were kind of gaming the system a little bit. But even at that, you know, for a short trip, especially maybe for an adults only trip, to make it, you know, kind of a unique and special experience. And if you're going to take advantage of things like tours and high-end dining and those kinds of things, you know, it actually is kind of a budget way to splurge.
Oh, it is. You get treated like royalty, you get to do what you want, and really on a decent budget.
I think if you threw some VIP tours in there, you could really boost up your price a little bit more.
You could, but see, I didn't want to do VIP tours. I mean, I know that they're nice in terms of getting you to the front of lines and things, but frankly, we're going in early June. The crowds aren't that bad. And I think I would miss out some if I wasn't getting some of the kind of people-watching time that you get, you know, touring the parks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I was more interested in the VIP tours for what they have to say rather than getting you to the front of the line.
Sure.
Front of the line's nice for some things like Toy Story or that, where you know the queue, or you go through the queue once and then go through four times with a VIP tour.
Right.
But more for whatever the stories they have to tell than the advancement to the front. Because the queue is, as we know, the queue is often more enjoyable than the rides.
Right. Yeah. Well, and like, you know, there were still some choices to make because, you know, with the package you get either an Illuminations cruise or a Wishes cruise. I chose to go with the Illuminations cruise because we're staying, you know, Concierge Lounge at the Polynesian. We get a similar view of Wishes from the beach at the Poly or from the Concierge Lounge even of the Poly as you would get on a cruise, you know, a fireworks cruise. So it seemed to make more sense to, you know, take advantage of that at Illuminations instead that you can't see from the resort.
That's a good point. Have any of you guys ever, neither of you have done the Lunch with Imagineer, have you?
I've not.
No, I haven't.
And I wish I had thought about it because that's something that I would really like to do and I'd really like to take my daughter to do. I think she would get a real kick out of it.
Yeah, that especially as you've gotten a little bit older kids, the 9, 10.
Yeah, exactly.
12-year-olds, I think, would really enjoy that. Something to look forward to in the future.
Yeah, yeah, it's on my list for November for sure because my daughters have just gone crazy since coming back from for learning about all that stuff.
Right. Well, and, you know, I think the bottom line of all of this is, you know, the common theme really of all of our splurges was, you know, something that takes us and gives us an experience that we couldn't get otherwise. Terry was talking about doing a lot of tours that give him, you know, information that he wouldn't have during a normal trip. things that he wouldn't have access to. You know, Chris, you had a similar approach. You were doing a lot of tours, dining experiences that are really unique and different.
One of the things I thought of when preparing for this is that the ideal trip for me combines both of these things, combines maybe one or two things that you would never you wouldn't do a whole trip of them. But if you got to do one, that would be fabulous. You know, you go on the Wild Africa trek, or you go on you go scuba diving with your kids in the tank at Epcot. You do one of those experiences that you splurge for, and then you cut back and save money in other areas.
Well, that's a good point too, because that was one of the things that struck me when I was putting together this. Is on the one hand, it was a kid in a candy store going through the list of things included in the Platinum package. But on the other hand, I was almost like, you know, we're barely going to have a chance to recover from one blow your mind experience.
Right.
And we're going to be on our way to the next one. At a certain point, I think you almost have a difficult time absorbing it all.
Oh, for sure. That's a really good point, Aaron. It's actually looking at the list I have here. I've got the next 8 or 10 trips to Disney World planned out with one or two special things per trip, depending on what the budget can afford. Because, you get to absorb it much better. It doesn't all blur into each other.
Yeah, I mean, if I ever was able to actually do a trip like this is, okay, so you've done all that. What do you do next time?
Yeah.
I mean,
Disneyland.
Go to five parks in one day.
There we go. We need your jet, Aaron.
Well, if you're going to do five in one day, you might as well do six.
Yeah, do both in California. Right.
Right. All right. Well, you all have heard now about what we would do with a dream trip, and also the way that we would put together a budget trip. We'd love to hear from you about what your ideal trips would be. Where do you choose to trim your budget on a budget trip? And what are your favorite splurges? We kind of looked at both ends this time. You can tell us about it by emailing us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. And participate in the discussions on our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Thanks, guys. Until next time, it's been Aaron Ripmaster with Chris Carroll.
Good night, guys.
And Terrence Hawkins.
Good night, eh?
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.